Welcome to the Space News Weekly Brief, where we bring you the latest updates, groundbreaking developments, and key insights shaping the future of space exploration and technology. I'm your host, AI Michelle, and this is a Magic Pod production by Podcast AI. Here are our top stories today. First, India becomes the fourth nation to dock satellites in orbit. Second, we delve into why one half of Mars is so different from the other. Third, the Hubble telescope captures young stars changing their environments. Fourth, NASA outlines goals for SpaceX's Starship this year. Fifth, the United Kingdom approves its first vertical rocket launch. And finally, a NASA astronaut completes a spacewalk after being stranded on the space station for 7 months. Kicking off with a major milestone in space exploration, India has successfully become the fourth nation to dock satellites in orbit. The Indian Space Research Organization, or ISRO, achieved this feat with its space docking experiment, known as SpaDex. The mission, which launched on December 30th, involved two satellites named Target and Chaser. These satellites maneuvered from 50 feet apart to just 10 feet, completing the docking process successfully. This achievement places India alongside the United States, Russia, and China, the only other countries to have accomplished this in-space docking. This historic docking is not just a technological triumph, but a strategic step forward for India's space ambitions. The technology demonstrated by SpaDex is crucial for future missions, including lunar sample returns and the construction of the Bharatiya Antariksh Station, an Earth-orbiting space station India plans to build by 2035. Upcoming missions like Chandrayaan-4, set for a 2028 launch, will benefit from these advancements. ISRO's accomplishment is a testament to the rigorous testing and simulations that preceded the successful docking. Despite the initial delays, the mission's success highlights India's growing capabilities in space technology and its readiness to tackle more complex space missions in the future. Scientists have long been puzzled by the Martian dichotomy, a striking difference between the southern highlands and northern lowlands of Mars. The southern highlands rise significantly higher and are more cratered, while the northern lowlands are smoother and less scarred. Recent research, however, may have provided a clue to this mystery. By analyzing data from Mars quakes detected by NASA's InSight lander, scientists have discovered that the origin of this dichotomy might be deep within Mars itself. The InSight lander, located near the border of the Martian dichotomy, has been instrumental in this discovery. It captured seismic vibrations, or Mars quakes, which researchers used to study the interior of Mars. The analysis revealed that seismic waves lose energy more rapidly in the southern highlands than in the northern lowlands. This suggests that the rock beneath the southern highlands is hotter, supporting the hypothesis that internal forces, rather than external impacts, caused the dichotomy. This finding aligns with models that propose the dichotomy resulted from internal processes within Mars, such as the movement of molten rock and tectonic activity early in the planet's history. These processes may have established a pattern of convection in Mars's mantle that led to the current landscape. Although more data is needed to fully understand the dichotomy, this research offers a significant piece of the puzzle. The Hubble Space Telescope has once again provided us with a breathtaking view of the cosmos, this time capturing the dynamic processes occurring within the Orion Nebula, the closest massive star-forming region to Earth. Situated approximately 1,500 light-years away, this nebula is a well-known feature of the night sky, visible beneath the three stars that form the belt of the constellation Orion. In this latest image, we focus on two young protostars, HOPS-150 and HOPS-153, which are part of the Herschel-Orion Protostar Survey. HOPS-150 is particularly fascinating because it is a binary star system where two young protostars orbit each other, each surrounded by a disk of dust. These disks are crucial as they supply the material that allows the stars to grow. The dark line crossing the glowing protostars is a massive cloud of gas and dust, over 2,000 times the distance from Earth to the Sun, which is actively falling onto the stars. Interestingly, HOPS 150 is midway through its journey to becoming a mature star, as indicated by the infrared light it emits. Meanwhile, HOPS 153, which lies just outside the frame of the image, is significantly younger and still deeply embedded in its birth nebula. Although Hubble cannot directly observe HOPS 153 due to the dense gas surrounding it, it can capture the vibrant jet of material that the protostar emits. This jet is a striking feature as it pierces the surrounding gas and dust, illustrating the powerful impact a protostar can have on its environment. As HOPS 153 continues to develop, it will significantly alter its surroundings. The jets eject material and energy into space, creating bubbles and heating the gas in their path. This process not only shapes the immediate environment, but can also influence the formation of new stars nearby, possibly even slowing down the protostar's own growth. The observations made by the Hubble Space Telescope offer invaluable insights into the life cycle of stars and the complex interactions within star-forming regions. By studying these young stellar objects, scientists can better understand the mechanisms that govern star formation and the evolution of star systems. Today, we are diving into what NASA hopes SpaceX will achieve with the Starship program this year. SpaceX is gearing up for a busy year with its ambitious plans for the Starship, the most powerful rocket ever built. This year, SpaceX aims to conduct as many as 25 missions with several key objectives on the horizon. These include deploying an upgraded version of Starship, known as Block 2, and demonstrating in-orbit refueling, a crucial capability for future lunar and Martian missions. One of the major milestones NASA is keen on seeing is the successful demonstration of in-orbit propellant transfer. This involves two starships docking in space to transfer supercooled methane and liquid oxygen from one to another. It is a complex and unprecedented maneuver that will pave the way for extended missions beyond Earth's orbit. The technology tested here is essential for future missions to the Moon and Mars, where refueling in space will be a necessity. SpaceX is also focusing on perfecting the catch-and-reuse system for the Super Heavy booster, using mechanical chopsticks attached to the launch tower. This system is designed to capture the booster upon its return to the launch pad, enhancing the reusability of the rocket components and reducing costs. While this isn't a direct requirement from NASA, the cost savings from such innovations benefit both SpaceX and its partners, including NASA. As part of the Artemis program, NASA has contracted SpaceX to develop a modified version of Starship for human lunar landings. With over $4 billion committed to SpaceX, NASA is closely monitoring the Starship's development. The agency is particularly interested in the upgraded Starship's performance, as it will eventually be used to land astronauts on the Moon, fulfilling a critical component of the Artemis missions. Looking ahead, SpaceX plans to build a second launch pad at its Starbase facility in Texas to increase its launch rate. This expansion is necessary to support the ambitious schedule of flights planned for the year. As SpaceX continues to innovate and iterate on its designs, the company aims to overcome regulatory hurdles and achieve a flight cadence that will advance both commercial and exploratory space missions. In a significant development for the United Kingdom's aerospace sector, the UK's Civil Aviation Authority has granted a launch license to rocket factory Augsburg, a German company. This license paves the way for the first vertical rocket launch from European soil, set to occur from Saxavord Spaceport on the Shetland Islands, Scotland. Rocket Factory Augsburg plans to conduct a test flight of its three-stage rocket, capable of delivering a 1,300-kilogram payload into orbit later this year. This milestone marks a new chapter for the UK's space industry, emphasizing the nation's growing role in the European and global space sectors. The Chief Executive Officer of the Civil Aviation Authority, Rob Bishton, highlighted the extensive efforts to ensure safety and environmental standards were met, signifying the importance of this achievement. Jorn Sperman, co-founder and chief commercial officer of Rocket Factory Augsburg, described the approval as a groundbreaking moment not only for RFA, but also for Europe's space industry. He noted that securing this license outside the European Space Agency's traditional site in Kourou, French Guiana, underlines RFA's commitment to technical excellence and innovation in space exploration. The approval of this launch license is seen as a pivotal step towards more cost-effective and flexible space launches from the European mainland. By facilitating launches from sites like Saxe-Vorde, Europe is positioning itself as a key player in the global space race, ensuring it remains competitive in the rapidly evolving space industry. RFA's upcoming launch will be a critical test for its rocket, following an incident last year where the first stage of the rocket caught fire and exploded during a static fire test. Despite this setback, RFA is moving forward with plans for a successful test flight, signaling resilience and determination in advancing their space capabilities. In a remarkable story of resilience and perseverance, NASA astronaut Suni Williams has completed her first spacewalk since arriving at the International Space Station 7 months ago. This marks the 8th spacewalk of her distinguished career. Williams, who was originally part of a week-long test flight of the Boeing Starliner capsule in June 2024, has been stranded with fellow astronaut Butch Wilmore due to mechanical issues with their spacecraft. On January 16th, Williams stepped out of the space station to assist NASA's Nick Hague with critical repair work. As she exited the station, Williams, who is 59 years old, announced, "I'm coming out," marking a significant moment in her extended mission. Despite the unexpected length of their stay, both Williams and Wilmore have remained in high spirits, making the most of their time aboard the space station. Originally, NASA had hoped to bring the astronauts back to Earth by February, but their return has been postponed until at least March as NASA collaborates with SpaceX to prepare a new Dragon spacecraft for their safe return. Steve Stick, manager of NASA's Commercial Crew Program, expressed appreciation for SpaceX's efforts to expand the Dragon fleet to support ongoing missions. While awaiting their return, Williams and Wilmore have maintained a positive outlook, focusing on their health and well-being. In an interview with NBC News in November 2024, Williams shared that they were feeling good, working out, and eating right, and assured everyone that they were a happy crew. Their experience highlights not only the adaptability and professionalism of astronauts, but also the camaraderie and support that define life aboard the International Space Station. Williams' recent spacewalk underscores the importance of flexibility and problem-solving in space missions. Her work outside the station is a testament to the dedication of astronauts who continue to push boundaries and ensure the success and safety of their missions, even when faced with unexpected challenges. All right, that's a wrap for this episode. If you enjoyed this brief and would like to stay updated on latest episodes, don't forget to click follow in your podcast app. Thanks again for listening, and hope to catch you next time.